Now, I feel quite privileged to have today's On The Couch guest with us in studio because he is a man who at various points in his life has made some very big, very conscious decisions about changing his own behavior. And he's done so with a huge level of commitment. For example, he stopped driving and started walking after witnessing an oil spill and its aftermath. He stopped speaking for a time and found that he listened so much better. He kept it going for 17 years. Most of all, though, he has dedicated his time and his effort to raising awareness of environmental issues and promoting a culture of kindness towards each other and towards planet Earth. His name is John Francis. His nickname is the Planet Walker, and he is about to set off on his next planet walk across Africa this coming weekend. John, we're so thrilled to have you in studio. Thanks for making time.
I'm so happy to be here, Pippa.
And a warm welcome to Cape Town. Your first time in our city, or have you been before?
This is the first time, and I'm really enjoying it.
Great. That's good to hear. John, I know it was the aftermath of a tanker accident back in the early 1970s that proved to be a really pivotal changing point in your life. But maybe let's first find out, what was your life like before that moment?
Well, you know, I was a band manager for an avant-garde music group.
Yeah.
And I lived in a little village out in West Marin County, which a lot of musicians live mm-hmm. out there. And I managed a group called the Spectrum of Sight and Sound. So it was kind of speeding around over the hill and making deals and getting the group to be playing.
And then something happened that literally changed the course of your life. And that was a tanker accident of some kind that led to an oil spill, I understand. Tell us more.
Yeah. It was in 1971. And there were two tankers. Well, actually, it was one tanker that... Two tankers collided mm-hmm. beneath the Golden Gate Bridge. And they were both Standard Oil tankers. And the resulting spill... turned into a environmental disaster. And it was the first environmental disaster that I had ever witnessed. I mean, I've read about them, but to actually smell the petrol, you know, and see it washing up on the shore and the dead and dying birds really impacted me. And I just wanted to know what I could do in order to make a difference in this. And, you know, I said to my girlfriend at the time, I said, you know, we should just get out of our cars and start walking. And she kind of laughed at me and she said, John, that's very sweet. That's why I love you. You know, but it's so naive. And it was a friend's death that convinced me. It was later on that year that we went for a walk. And on that walk, we were going to hear some friends of ours play music. Mm-hmm. And the Youngbloods, you know, come on, people, smile on your brother. Everybody get together.
Gotta love one another. Yeah.
And they lived in our town. And we walked all the way, 20 miles, to see the Youngbloods. But by the time we got there, they were their gig was over. and so... we decided we would stay. They said, John, you know, Eugene, you guys walked all the way. We'll drive you home. And instead, we said, no, we're going to stay and we'll walk back. Well, after a day at the Holiday Inn, resting up, we started walking back. And I just never came back from that walk. I decided that it was the person who had passed away was a deputy sheriff. And we were not best of friends, but... in our little town of 300, we had to be acquainted with each other. Mm-hmm. And having him lose his life, he was about 26 and the same age as I was. And just like that, he was gone. And I realized that there is no promise that tomorrow's going to come. And my girlfriend had told me, she said, well, John, we can walk, but let's wait until the money comes. We don't have enough money yet, but when we get enough money, we can start and walk. Mm-hmm. And that's what I said, well, okay. But until when my friend died so suddenly, I realized that the only promise we have is right now. This moment, and that we don't know if the money's going to come or we don't know if tomorrow's going to come. So I decided to just keep walking. I wanted to walk. I had thought about it. So I just kept walking.
And John, initially it was walking and talking and having conversations about what you'd seen and experienced and sharing your thoughts with the people you met along the way. But somewhere along the line, you also made the decision that you were going to stop talking.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes, that's exactly right. And it was on my birthday that I decided to not speak. And my birthday's coming right up. It's the 23rd of February.
Yep.
So I'll be turning... I turned 27. That's when I was turning 27.
Yeah.
My next birthday will be 77. So I'm sure my family's saying, John, don't stop talking.
Not again.
Not again.
Why did you do it?
And it was just, I was arguing so much that I was walking in this beautiful place and things had slowed down quite a bit. And I was feeling really good except for the arguments. And I would... decided that maybe I should just be quiet for the day, my birthday. And on that day, I stopped speaking and I realized that, oh my God, I hadn't been listening. You know, I would listen just enough to think I knew what the other person was going to say. And I know your listeners, they don't do this, but I would think, well, I knew what they were going to say.
Mm.
And I could stop thinking about what they're saying and start thinking about what I was going to say back to show them that I knew more or I knew better, or even if it was something that I thought I believed, I could say it better. And so that day I realized that, you know, John, you should maybe be quiet for another day and another day. And after a week went by, people were really getting concerned. And even I was a little concerned, like I'd never stopped talking for a week. And yet I was compelled to try it for a month. And after that month, I decided I was going to do it for a year. And on my birthday, I would ask myself, was it still appropriate? Because I was learning so much about myself, about people, how we communicate, about nature, that I would decide whether I would continue for another year. And so 17 years later, I started speaking.
So what was the thing that propelled you to start again 17 years later?
Well, you know, I had, by this time, I had walked across the United States. I had stopped and worked. I had learned how to build wooden boats. I built a wooden boat in Washington, and I had gone to school in Oregon, and then I'd got my master's degree in environmental studies in Montana, still quiet and still silent, and then walked to Wisconsin, where I studied for my PhD in environmental studies as a silent
student.
And that had walked from California and was a fellow. They paid for my education. They said, well, if you're that serious about environment, we're paying for this. And I finished my degree. I walked to the East Coast and started speaking on the 20th anniversary of Earth Day, because I wanted to remind myself that I was going to speak for the environment, and the environment for me had changed from being just about, oh, you know, the typical things like species loss and habitat loss and pollution and climate change to be really about if all those things were important, but if we were part of the environment, then the environment was also about how we treated each other, because how we treated each other was going to manifest in the physical environment around us. And we would get those things that, like climate change and loss of habitat and pollution and loss of species. And it just would exacerbate what was naturally occurring in the environment. And so environment for me became about human rights and civil rights and gender equality and economic equity and all the ways we relate as human beings. Mm. And that's what I wanted to say. That was my message. And I started speaking on the 20th anniversary of Earth Day to remind myself that no matter what, John, that's what you're going to be talking about.
So when the message was important enough, the voice was there. Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my fascinating guest in studio is John Francis, the planet walker. As you've heard him describing, he has walked all over the United States, and he didn't stop there. He's kept on going, and this coming weekend, he sets off on the next leg of his planet walk, walking from Cape Town to Khartoum. Now, I mean, along the way, John, this issue of environmental awareness and education and this message that it is about kindness to each other as well as to the planet, it's one you've taken to schools, it's one you address young people in particular about. How, I mean, do you feel like the message is hitting home? Do you feel like this young generation in particular are noticing things and being more mindful of their impact on the environment and the need to care for it quite urgently, more so than previous generations?
You know, I think so. I would have to say when I started walking, there was very little consciousness even about environment, I would say. In 1983, I began across North America. Mm-hmm. And if I said environment to my parents back in Philadelphia on the East Coast, they would say, what are you talking about? By the time I had reached the East Coast and started speaking again, environment was a major issue. Mm-hmm. Now, the only part of that, which I saw that needed to be represented, was that part about how we treat each other. Because in my education, I didn't get that. In my formal education, I didn't get it. Where I did get it was out on the road with people. Mm. And that's where I learned, along with the formal education and with the informal education, that environment was really about how we treated each other. And I spread that message whenever I can, and I see it coming back. And I see it in a lot of different ways. In a lot of the media, there's always some story about how people are being kind to each other. Mm. You know, I mean, with all the other stuff going on, there's some story about how children are being kind, how they're working at doing good things for their community and showing kindness, mm. you know. So, yeah, I think the message is getting out there, and I think people are responding to it, and let's just see if we can do more.
And keep it going. Yeah. I know you've recently published a children's book around this theme called Human Kindness. So if you love what you're hearing and you've got a youngster you'd like to reach with this kind of message, please do look out for John's book, Human Kindness, in the bookstores. It is an exploration of acts of kindness, some of them famous ones by famous people, some of them small acts of kindness shown to you personally along the road in your travels, John. So do look out for that. And then, of course, there's also his book, Planet Walker, which is the story of his decision to hit the road and the large sections of it also dealing with the decision not to speak anymore. Now, before we run out of time, John, you're in Cape Town because you were about to set off on the next leg, 8,000 kilometers from Cape Town to Khartoum. Why this particular route?
Well, I finished walking across North America, and then I walked the length of South America. Mm-hmm. And it was always my dream to come to Africa and walk the length of Africa. And someone told me, they said, well, John, you know, you can't sail across to Cape Town, to South Africa. And so eventually I did use an airplane to get here.
Okay.
And I was talking with my friend who's here in the studio, Nick Sierra of the Interstellar Foundation.
Yep.
And we were talking about how we can send a message to outer space, to maybe another intelligence. And we were trying to wrestle with, well, who do we get to be part of this message? And Nick reached out to me, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about children as being the messengers, actually. And because they are the future, the children mm-hmm. are the future. And I mentioned to Nick about my desire to walk from Cape Town to Khartoum. And he said, well, John, do you know where I live? And I said, well, no, actually, where do you live? And he says, I live in Cape Town. I says, and I'm going to be your host. And you have to come to Cape Town. And Cape Point is only a few miles away from where I live. So starting this Saturday, I'm going to begin my walk from Cape Town to Khartoum. Now, this is the first, I'm going to use miles, because it's the first 100 miles for me, which is really about planning and looking at the route, because it's a long ways. And I like to say, I know nothing. Hmm. And so I'm asking all your listeners and all my friends and people who know more to help me determine the route. Now, I'm working with a group called the GLOBE program,
yep,
which is Global Learning and Observation to Benefit the Environment. And it is a program that gives students a plot of land near or at their school, about 30 meters, which is the resolution of Landsat. And they get to make the measurements of soil moisture, cloud cover, and all those kinds of environmental measurements, which are really important, how much rain we have or if we don't have any. And it's all shared with all the other students and schools of the GLOBE program. And I think there's like 127 countries now and thousands of schools. And the power of this program to me is that kids get to communicate and talk to each other, mm-hmm, by email and letters and whatever. They get to talk to each other about the environment. They get to talk to each other and they get to be kind to each other.
Love it.
So
that's what's inspiring it. And if you listening to this are loving the message and feeling like you want to have a conversation with the man who stopped talking for 17 years ago, we're so glad you started again, John.
Me too.
I think there are a lot of people listening and nodding their heads. You are invited to join John on the first part of his walk, setting off at 9 o'clock this Saturday morning from Cape Point and walking your way back towards Cape Town before we wave him on to the big part of the 8,000 kilometres that lies ahead between here and Khartoum. John, it's been a delight having you with us in studio today. Thanks for making time to pop in on this leg before you start the official one. And just before we go to news, we've got a voice note that has come in from somebody wanting to wish you well on your walk. Have we got time to squeeze that in, Obi, before we go to the news headlines? And then we'll wish John on his way. While we load that voice note, John, is there a Facebook page or a Twitter address or anywhere like that where listeners can follow your journey?
There is a Facebook page. It's Planet Walker Africa.
Planet Walker Africa. And let's take a listen to that voice note.
Hello, John, and welcome to South Africa. I really hope you enjoy your walk up to Khartoum. Africa is an amazing continent. Just carry lots of water with you, and good luck. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you, John. Great to have you with us today and all the
best. Thank you, Pippa.